You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for hitting play. This is Dishes and Dimes brought to you by BasketballNews.com. And I'm Noor, joined here today with Sandy, Katie, and a special guest I can't believe you were able to have on while she's working her ass off in sports 300 hours a week, Karina Mustafa. Karina, how are you, you angel? How's everything?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this all day. So thank you.
This is what I mean. Like, I can't believe you had the time for us, because if you guys don't know, Karina is the star of Unbenched, which happens to be a platform run for women in sports media. She's also the star of Locked On Women's Basketball Podcast and the Shoot Your Shot Podcast. And she covers CBC Sports. And she covers like every sport known to mankind that either a male plays, a female, no matter what you are, you play it, she'll cover it. It is what it is. And Karina, how do you do it? How many sports do you cover?
I think I cover two sports, but it feels like a lot more than that.
Feels like a lot.
Yeah, I cover mostly basketball and tennis. And so my plate is pretty much full right now with the Olympics happening too.
I can imagine. Who's your team for basketball currently for the Olympics?
I'm probably rooting for Team Australia, just because we do have a New York Liberty player on there, Beck Allen, and I love her with all of my heart. So I'm definitely rooting for Australia.
Very cute. And what about tennis?
Tennis, I'm probably rooting for like any Romanian or Canadian player out there, just because that's who.
Gotta
I am.
Stick to your roots. You know, at that exactly. point, whatever is easiest to cheer for.
Yeah,
I feel you. And between everything else, my biggest question for you, Karina, like I see you juggle everything and you are not even the legal age of drinking in Canada yet. So how do you do it? Can you give us the oldies? Okay, sorry, 3 weeks away. Can you give us the grannies, like a little bit of tips we need to know?
I'm always trying to go outside whenever I have free time. Like taking walks outside is so good for my mental health, because sometimes I just feel like I'm overwhelmed with about a million things. But if I go out for even like 30 minutes alone by myself, it just clears my head. And that's honestly the biggest thing. Like any type of physical activity I feel helps a lot, especially when you're sitting around just like writing or podcasting or doing stuff all day. Like you just need to be able to move your body too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like at that point too, you just need some kind of movement that like, and movement is good for your brain no matter what happens. It's good for everything, your happiness, your activity level, all that stuff. And just seeing how well-versed you are in this industry already, where do you see yourself maybe 5 years from now? Where do you want to see yourself grow?
That's such an interesting question.
Like, what should we see?
So right now I'm just kind of open to a lot of things. I used to think that I wanted to do social media, but now I'm thinking that maybe I'd like to go into like the production side of things. Maybe be an on-air host. That would be pretty cool. Producing would be cool as well.
I mean, I was on your last podcast, and if anybody can vouch for you, if you need anybody, I'll write you the reference. I'll make some calls. Let me know. I think honestly, at this point, Karina, wherever you want to go, the doors are completely open for you. I feel like you should be like the front facing center of interviewing every woman, every athlete. Just seeing you grow has been amazing. And you're so young in this industry right now too. And this is such a male dominated industry. How do you find And how do you deal with just being somewhere where you don't really see much of yourself out there?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've talked about this before on the Unbenched podcast, but I don't really think I saw a lot of female sports fans until I joined Twitter. And Raptors Twitter is full of women that are, you know, well-versed in the sport of basketball. And I think that's what's kind of helped me with my motivation going forward, that there are other people like me who do enjoy sports. And I think that's helpful. I think even at work at CBC, they have a bunch of women that are on-air hosts, but there aren't as many women in like the production room. So there'll be like one woman who's a director or one woman who's an executive producer, and then everyone else will be male. And so I just kind of look up to them. I talk to them as much as I can, get insight from them. And yeah, that's pretty much the people around me that, you know, help motivate me to be in this industry.
I love that answer. And it's honestly so true, just seeing how much social media has the power to open your eyes now. Because for us, I think it was the same kind of deal. Like, we formed because of Twitter. Sandy had this tweet out where she said, I see so many women rapper fans and I want to see them have a platform where they can voice everything that they voice on Twitter. And literally, it happened because of Twitter. And yeah, and honestly, maybe I'm biased or not, but Raptors Twitter is run by women. And it's great to see it's women like you, it's women like us. And just given the fact also that we want to see a lot of women's sports grow in general too, what do you think is the biggest barrier, that the barrier driving visibility when it comes to women's sports?
It's definitely advertising. It's advertising all the way. Like, you look at the WNBA, a lot of things that I've heard from people that they don't know how to get into the WNBA because they don't know any of the players. They don't know anything about them and they can't really relate to them. Like, a player like LeBron James, he is advertised all the time. Everyone knows LeBron James. Everyone knows that. Like, even if you're not a sports fan, you know the name LeBron James. And so I think that when you actually put time and money into these women and market them, because the talent is there. They are very talented basketball players. It's not like the product is something weak, but you have to get the athletes and the fans, you have to have that bridge there and have them be able to relate to each other.
Absolutely. Sponsorship brands play such a big part because they kind of drive the narrative of what you should be watching, right? They're the ones who are throwing their money, and where whatever conversation they want to have is what's going to be on the spotlight. And I think I'll throw this last question out to all of you. Besides sponsorships, what do you think male athletes, like in the NBA and soccer and everywhere else where they kind of have the forefront for every single sport, what can they do to drive the conversation more in favor of women in sports? I'll start with you, Karina.
Yeah, so what we've seen with the WNBA is we've seen like the orange hoodie gain a lot of popularity. And while I think that that is great, I think that there are other ways that these players can be showing their support. Like, I know I've seen DeMar DeRozan, he's gone to WNBA games and he hasn't been making a show of it. He's just been supporting it because he enjoys the product. And I think when you have more genuine support like that, that helps a lot. I'm thinking back to last year when Kyrie Irving, he paid for a bunch of WNBA players' salaries in the bubble because they wanted to sit out for the season and they couldn't afford it. And so just things like that, I think it always comes back to money. And I think the fact that the NBA is so big, they have the means to be able to support this women's league.
Definitely. And the fact that we have to bring up players like DeRozan and Kyrie who are taking the stands when it should just be the owners. How about you, Katie? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Karina. I think there's like the hoodie was all well and good, but at some point it has to go beyond these kind of like totems and almost like Instagrammable moments. You know, I think players going to games, like NBA players actually showing up at WNBA games and being seen and that visibility, but consistently more than just like a one game photo op, you know, like to show an actual investment. And because I think like the optics of that will transfer when you want to talk about advertising and kind of what fans look at and think like, oh yeah, like maybe that's worth my time. I think I would actually like to also see, you know, so many players, NBA players have started their own media platforms, whether that's like podcasts or YouTube channels. I would love to see them invite more WNBA players on as guests. Like, I'm not,
that's a very good point.
Fan of JJ Redick, but like JJ, I don't know if you've had a WNBA player on your show, you know, because I think to a degree, like a lot of fans listen to that and it just keeps everything so insular. The more it's just like, oh, it's an NBA player interviewing his NBA friend, talking about the NBA and like complaining about it. It's like maybe broaden your horizons a little bit. And I would extend the same, you know, challenge to like the Low Post, you know, like any big podcast that occasionally will have an NBA player on a guest, like have a WNBA player on instead.
And there are WNBA players who have podcasts, like Asia Wilson and Nafisa Collier have WNBA, their T podcast.
Yeah. And Chinee Agumakwe has hers. And I was chatting with her like not too long ago and she's hilarious. And just like, I think it's also just the preparedness of like women in that space, like women in our space, like, you know, you have to be like doubly prepared if you have a guest or if you don't, you have to be like, you have to be on all the time. You have to be funny all the time. You have to be like, you have to be more than yourself. Because there's this idea that people won't listen to it unless you have that. But yeah, like Karina, you make a good point. Like plenty WNBA players like have podcasts, but I'm really curious as to what, like how many people listen to those versus like, again, I hate to boost them because it's not even a good podcast, but JJ Redick's podcast.
Shots fired. JJ, if you're listening, stop with your NBA friends, have some women podcasts, have some women NBA players on, and maybe you'll see your views go up too. What about you, Sandra? What do you think in terms of male athletes doing something for women's sports?
I mean, the baseline has to be that they believe in actual equity. I think there are a lot of male basketball players who are, you know, in the Draymond camp where they think the reason with the problem with the product is the women and the product that they're creating when they play. So this problem actually really starts with these players not actually believing that the product is worth, you know, as much as the NBA. And that's the problem. That's the issue. And I don't know if that's something that you can necessarily fix, right? That's literally a mindset that they have. Like obviously on the surface, we can let go of the orange, you know, sweater, like we get it. Like we get it. Like you guys have Instagrammed it. It's cute. Let's move on. But we do need more players like a DeMar, like a Kyrie, especially who, you know, show the disparity in how these products are paid attention to, advertised, literally with action and not just putting on a hoodie and taking a selfie. It's cute, but it doesn't really do anything. I do think that instead of focusing on the players though, we do have to focus on the owners. Like for me, I think, you know, if you have, obviously the WNBA starts up towards the end of the NBA season. If you put some of these games after a big marquee game and say, hey, like, let's do a double feature with the WNBA and the NBA, people are going to watch it just out of curiosity. The fact that the NBA was willing to do that. This all comes down to being fucking cheap and not like and not thinking, not believing that investing in the product is going to bring much out of anything. So for me personally, like, I think there's actual real tangible ways to bring eyes to the WNBA, like throwing out, you know, friend of the pod, Nikias Duncan, his pod does talk about the WNBA, not because, you know, he feels like he has to, but because he's interested in the sport, he feels like he has a platform to bring people into the sport, drum up interest. Like, we need more things like that because the product is great. Like, I started watching this season. I loved it, you know?
Same.
And I wasn't necessarily someone who had much interest. I was like, okay, like the NBA is quite enough for me. Thanks. But having watched it, I was like, this is great. And if the NBA made more of a point of doing double features, of putting a WNBA game before an NBA game, specifically marquee matchups, like making sure that people are kind of forced to watch the products, because I feel like as soon as they watch the product, they'll be hooked, but they don't have a way to really watch it consistently. So I would love to bother the players, but they care about their money. They're not really interested in equity for these women athletes. I think the onus comes on to the owners and how they advertise the product. And that's that.
Honestly, yeah. Having WNBA games, sorry, before a West Coast NBA game for us washed people like me who can't stay up past 9:30. That's a great okay. idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I thought that would be great. Shout out to you. I thought that would be, like, I think about it and I'm just like, why wouldn't you do that? Mm-hmm. Even just finding, like, even for, like, All-Star Weekend, finding, like, a little thing that you know, the WNBA players can do during that time just to bring interest to them. Like, having, like, a little side, like, even if that might, I know it's not the greatest, you don't want, you know, the WNBA to be like a little side project, but, you know, to start introducing these players in a way that's engaging to the fans. I think that's the problem, right? Mm-hmm. They don't know where to find them. They've never really watched these women play. Like, find ways to introduce the audience to these women, like, in terms of their skill, number one, but also in terms of their personality. Once you start connecting with these women, there's no way that you could be like, yeah, no, this is not interesting. That's bullshit. So
yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Go ahead, Karina.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, because I started covering it this season. And so I get a lot of, you know, media availabilities and things like that. And what I've started to do is I'll clip moments from the interviews and I'll post them on Twitter for people to see, because those don't become available until like 24 hours later. So I'll do it myself, like, right away. And what I find is a lot of people have messaged me and be like, thank you for posting these, because, you know, they're either like, the players either said something really funny or they said something really insightful and they're like, oh, I didn't know this about this player before. And so I just find that it's literally that accessibility that you were talking about is so important in, you know, teaching people about these players and their personalities.
Absolutely. And I can't remember what team it was. I'm sorry, I should be like, I'm trying to Google it right now, but I can't find it. But I know there was this team, and the, I think the owners were the ones that took a chance on them because they said that we believe in them, we want to see them grow. And what they did was they set out an incentive for the fans. I forget again what it was, what team, anything, but I just remember the idea. And it was that they set out an incentive for the fans and said that whenever they buy a ticket, something would happen. And no matter, I forget what it was, but by the end of the week, I believe they had the stadium sold out. The women's, I believe it was a basketball team, and it was soaring through. And it just, at that point, it just shows you that it just takes a certain level of commitment, and that commitment has to come from the top. We can sit here and talk about it. I also am very guilty of not being that great at watching women's basketball. I've done a lot better of a job this year, but I think this is just more so me growing into it, and it's going to get better from then and on. But I also can't blame myself, because I'm like, I also don't see anything, right? There's not much out there because you don't see a lot of that investment in it. So I'm really glad to see that we're taking that stance, especially you, Karina, being the next generation of women in sports, like taking that onto your back and being like, no, I'm going to make sure that I'm clipping my clips together. You're going to be watching it, even if you don't want to watch it. And it makes people into fans more than you'll ever know. So thank you for that. And I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk about NBA right after WNBA, but I'm going to get my ass kicked if we don't talk about the championship that just happened. And yeah, I guess this is the best way to segue into it, but the Milwaukee Bucks are your 2020-2021 NBA champions, my friends. How are we feeling?
The pain in your voice. Oh my God.
I thought I was happier than before. I really practiced that line. I was like, let me make sure it comes off genuine. No one has any beef with it. But yes, my friends, they are your champions. I'm happy for Giannis. He deserves it. It's a long time coming. He went and got his Chick-fil-A, like the most humble, you know, congratulations, the most humble party he could ever think of. And how do you guys feel as Raptor fans or just as fans of NBA?
I begrudgingly feel pretty good. I think it was really hard for me initially to pick a rooting interest. I think I was all in on the Suns initially. But I think that was kind of a testament to the finals, these finals, and that they were such a feel-good finals, you know. Mm-hmm. It was really difficult, like not even just game to game, but like quarter to quarter, to stick with a team depending on what they were doing. And unfortunately, as the Bucks went on and just like dug in, and like Giannis coming back from that, like what looked like a gruesome injury, like Chris Middleton is so like, I am so into Chris Middleton now, because I did a deep dive on his Instagram and I was like, this is the most normal man in the world. The most basic.
Do not let Iman hear you, Katie.
I know.
Like, you might not be allowed on next
tell
week.
Tell her we'll scrub this part, or like her version will be scrubbed, maybe. But like, I don't actually think we have that technology yet.
We'll slow your part down so she won't hear it. Remember, she has a speed problem. It'll be fine.
No, but like I was looking at pictures of Chris Middleton like doing his tunnel walks, and you know, usually dudes have like they get a fit off, and Chris Middleton just has like a thin like I don't even know like a sweater from like. I want to say Simons in Canada. So I don't know what the, like JCPenney, a JCPenney thin, just like crew neck knit sweater coming in just down the tunnel, some kind of weird oversized, like ski jacket almost. Like every game in the winter, even into the spring, he was just coming down the tunnel in that fit. And I was just like, this guy is so nice and normal and just like regular. Anyway, I obviously am really behind Chris Middleton now. but like Drew, I weirdly feel very good for Brooke Lopez. And the Lopez brothers always freak me out to a degree. No grown men should be that into Disney, but they are. But just like generally that whole Bucks team. Oh, PJ Tucker, my heart has always belonged to PJ Tucker, but just like seeing PJ Tucker finally get here after just being like a constant role player, like how annoying must it have been to just be like James Harden's protector for all those years and like get none of the credit and like none of the
shine. DeMar DeRozan's, Katie.
Yeah. I think
we won't talk about it.
We appreciated him in Toronto. I have to say, we really did. My heart was broken when he left. I'm still like, maybe he'll come back. He never is going to now, but like maybe he will. But
did you
like,
see after the parade, he was like, I'm not going to cab back with you guys. I'm going to walk the streets of Milwaukee with my dudes. And he's like sloshed on the streets of Milwaukee with Henny in his hand, walking down. And in his eyes, you can tell he's gone. He's not going to remember a second. He's going to be like, you guys let me walk in the middle of the street with random people. Are you kidding me? In America of all places.
He but started it was, like the PJ Tucker challenge on Instagram, like when he's chugging his champagne and spitting it out, because it's impossible to chug champagne out of the bottle. But now all these normal, most Milwaukee looking people you could ever hope to see are like doing the challenge and he's like resharing it. It's really heartening stuff. The only negative thing I have to say about them is that that parade must have not been that phenomenal, because the bus was really moving at a velocity not seen in Toronto. So,
you know what I love about this whole Katie discourse? Each time she had a sentence going, I was like, this is going to be really nice. And it ended with a burn to the Milwaukee Bucks each time. And it was perfect. Flawless delivery, Katie.
Well, I'm cognizant that Iman is listening. So, you know, I have to balance it.
It's the brand.
I'm
a Libra.
The commitment is amazing. I love it. But no, can we talk about the bus? I was like, they can't stand. If they stand, they're flying off. It's not happening for them.
It's definitely giving Marc Gasol. Like, he was this close to just, whoop.
But the bus, when Marc almost fell off the bus, it was like, how fast?
Standing.
It was
exactly. Stand still. That was all Marc. That wasn't the bus.
I think so.
Oh, that was a good time. How about you, Karina? How do you feel about? I'm not gonna finish that sentence. Just let's
go. Well, my co-host for the Shoot Your Shot podcast is a Bucks fan, so I am happy for him.
God bless you.
It's a very chaotic podcast.
God bless you and your patience.
Yeah, it's been quite an interesting ride. But honestly, like the entire playoffs, after the first round, my bracket was just completely messed up. Like everything, like all of my matchups were just wrong after the first round, which I kind of like. I mean, the unpredictability of this season was definitely like one of the running themes. And, you know, for the Bucks, just for it to finally happen for them, every single round, I was very convinced that they were going to lose, like every single one. And I didn't have the Bucks winning at all, especially because they kind of seem to just have to crawl themselves out of a hole every single time. And like, just like Katie, I was like all in on the Suns from the beginning. Clearly that didn't happen. They were up 2-0 and I was like, yep, that's it. This is it. The Suns are winning their championship. But something happened. This season has been quite weird.
It's been insane. And I feel like Katie hit a really good point where it was like, it was a feel good story where I feel like it either team won, you're happy with it. I'm happy for Chris Paul. I'm happy for Giannis. Other factors we'll talk about later, but how about you, Sandra? How do you feel? do we want to ask?
I'm happy for Giannis. I'm happy for my Nigerian prince. You know, I would have liked for it to be us. We could have had a beautiful union. He wouldn't have to toil away with, frankly, a kind of whack franchise. Green isn't his color. Red would have looked absolutely beautiful on him. I cherish that little bit of time where we thought he wasn't going to say yes to the Bucks, and we believed that he was coming to us. I still hold on to it. And I don't know, like, it was a weird, I was very conflicted because, you know, he you know, the buzzer went off. He went and sat down and I was like, he started crying and I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. And then because I'm a narcissistic Raptors fan, I got angry because I was like, that could have been us. and so I'm still coming to terms. Like, I don't like the rest of the team, clearly, but I'm happy for Giannis. I don't think Bud should have a ring. That's weird. I still think he should get fired.
That's suspicious. That's strange. Why does he have
a ring? Can we blame the pandemic for that? Because I don't know.
See the sign someone had at like the stage? It was like fire. Yes. Bud. Like, no? Like, I really respected the commitment.
It was a lot. And like, you know what's, I'm so petty. I know people hate me on Twitter, but like Deer Garden or whatever the hell they call
the Deer District.
Jurassic Park times two. Like, I got so every time I saw them pan the audience, like the crowd, I was just angry. And I'm like, I need self-reflection and I need to figure out why this makes me so angry. Like, and I think maybe it's because like we haven't seen a crowd like that for the NBA since our championship. So like I had a visceral reaction. Like, you guys are copying us and Giannis should have been ours. Like, there was just so many feelings and I was just angry. And I'm like, that's not even as big as our Jurassic. I was being so petty. The point is, I'm happy for Giannis. It could have been us. He didn't want us. As a Raptors fan, I'm bitter, but I'm going to get over it. Good for my Nigerian prince. I'm proud of you. You did amazing. 50 ball in the finals. Nobody's going to talk shit about you. I'm not going to talk shit about you anymore. I love you. And that's what I have to say.
Hey, but how did we feel about the free throw counting? Because I personally did not like it.
It was tacky.
I liked it at first.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was a little cute thing, but then when it kept going, I'm like, you guys are kind of giving him motivation to like.
It was helping him towards the end. Yeah.
He started like waiting till the number 7 to like.
He's like 10. Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's going to go in now. Here we go. He's like, thanks, Suns crowd. Oh, can we also talk about the Phoenix Suns crowd for a second? I know the 4K cameras have had their own thing, but I honest to God believe there's something in Phoenix water. Like, I was looking at it and I was like, you see that one guy who was like, just like holding onto the edge for dear life, doing like a mid plank, like holding the other side. I'm like, that is the guy who would, you know, that movie Mad Max, he'd be the one leading the tractor with the guitar just like going off. Like, the whole arena just looks like it's a movie set. It looked crazy to me. And also, speaking of the poster with the fire Bud sign, my immediate thought was, imagine your coach Bud, you've just won the championship. You're so happy. You're like, I've done it now. And the first thing your eyeballs land on is a fire Bud sign at the parade, at the championship parade where you're supposed to be celebrating yourself. And I like to think that's like his breaking moment where he's like, fuck, I really just won the championship. Like, really? Like, he gets on the stage and has a temper tantrum because he's just like, I can't even do that. I just won because of the championship. Thank you, Milwaukee. Like, even when you guys won, you gave us something to cheer for. And just you know, coming from a Raptors fan, I think next year we have quite a bit to be excited for. We landed the number 4 pick. Looks like we might be landing one of the Suggs or I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen to Masai. The top 4 going currently are going to be Cade, Mobley, Suggs, and I believe Jalen Green. How do you guys feel about our luck? And where do you want to see us land in terms of these top 4 picks? Or do you see us going anywhere beyond top 4? Just knowing, you know, we have Masai, who's always going to play the craziest dice game ever.
I mean, I
feel like... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think we're going to have a boring draft and number 4 is going to be Suggs and we're all going to be like, ugh, why did we come up with like the fan fiction of Mobley coming here when it's not happening. Do I think that we're going to go and get Giddy? I don't know. Like the Raptors, I trust like Masai, I trust Bobby. Like if they're going to make a crazy move like that, it's going, I think it's going to pan out. And honestly, I feel like it's either going to be Suggs, which is expected at 4, or they're going to do something absolutely crazy and go for Giddy. I do not want Scottie Barnes on my team. I've seen enough. Like, if he like dunks something and then does that celebration, like in a regular season game, I might have a heart attack. Because I literally, I was just like, this is entirely too much. And Fred's going to nip it in the bud, like, immediately. Like, we don't do that.
Fred's not passing.
Like,
he walked the ball, wait till the last minute of the fourth quarter, buddy. Absolutely
we don't do that
not.
Here. Like, and that's the thing, too. Like, if Lowry's gone, like, he's not getting the ball. Nobody's really getting the ball. Unless Fred is, you know, stuck in traffic and can't do anything with it. And he's like, oh shit, there's like a 6'8 defender in front
he's
of
like,
me.
I guess you can give it to Malachi tonight. I'm not going to be there in 20 minutes. I guess he can have a dribble.
Oh, Pascal's rolling to the basket. No, let me try to finesse my way into a finish. That's not going to
I love
happen.
Freddie, though.
Love you. Bet on yourself, guys.
But Sandy, I feel like none of that stuff sticks. Like rookies never... Like, they get that kind of squeezed out of them pretty quick by their vets. Hopefully.
Yeah, no, like, Fred for sure is not going to... He's gonna do it once, and Fred's going to be like...
withering look from Fred. Never see that again. You're never going to see that celebration again.
He's vomiting and shaking afterwards. Yeah. He's like, what did I do?
Yeah, basically. I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just, like, I'm kind of in the, like, happy to see whoever they get camp, to be honest. Like... The draft, like, also in my heart, like, the draft is such a crapshoot. Like, it really is. Like, I both love and hate it. I love the hopefulness of it and the promise of it every year. But I hate the amount of pressure. And I hate that we're always kind of waiting for this, like, number one, like, generational player to, like, come in the league and just, like, destroy everything and, like, upend everything and destroy everything. You know, like, Zion was supposed to be that. Like, and look at what happened to him, like, just like the amount of pressure that I think is still on him now.
I mean, he still has a shot, though. Like, that's not a player that we've
seen. Like, that's the thing. Zion, I think, is just like a player, like, you want to develop that guy. I think it's unrealistic to be like any player, any rookie with a lot of promise coming in, like, to put like the entire weight on them to, like, either one, carry a team or then carry this idea of like, you've got to be the best. And like, it never pans out. So I think the Raptors are like in a great spot because they're a franchise that's always drafted for fit and then developed the hell out of guys. So I think any player that comes, you know, they're just going to get better. Though I am curious, like, the one thing I have to say is I'm more unsure this going into this season than I think in any season in memory of what the look and feel of the team is and what they want it to be. I think that's due in large part to like what's going on with the front office. Is Lowry going to stay? Like, there's a lot of things that could really shift the identity. So I'm like not 100% sure on what that is. So I'm kind of curious to see, because I think who they draft is really going to point in the direction that they're going to move in.
Yeah, it's so weird because I feel like everyone was kind of on the same page when we got the number four pick. And then ever since then, it's just been too much time in between. And now we're just having civil wars every day. Like you said, like the Mobley fan fiction is just really funny. And now I'm seeing like Scotty Barnes on my timeline for the past like 2 days. And so it's so hard to keep up with who the preferred guy is because it changes every single day. And like you said, like, I feel like it's going to be so, you know, whatever, we'll get Suggs or, you know, whichever Jalen it is, but it's just going to be whatever happens. And I'm putting my trust in the front office. I'm hoping we hear that Masai extension soon because I'm getting a little bit nervous, but
thanks Karina for doing my job because that's the next question for you guys. How do we feel about our Lord and Savior not uttering a freaking peep? We haven't heard a thing. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what our team is going to look like. We don't know who's going to be our president. How are you guys feeling? When can we expect to hear from Masai? And when would you guys say is the perfect time to just go batshit crazy and start freaking out?
You know what? I actually think that it's a good thing that we're going into the draft and we still haven't heard anything. I think it actually, it veers towards him staying. Like, I don't think he would be in the process of getting a new a prospect and trying to figure out what the team is going to look like next season if he wasn't staying. I think if he'd made his decision or we heard something a little sooner, I would be worried. But I think because it's gotten so deep into the off, like we're now, you know, very much about to pick who could potentially be one of our franchise players in the future. And he's still very much technically a part of the team, I think actually works in our favor. Am I a little worried? Yes, because I do think maybe, like I've said from the very beginning, there's something that Masai wants from this team that doesn't have to do with money. If it was strictly about finances, I think he would have signed that contract and we would be good to go already. I think there's something in terms of the future of the Raptors within the NBA that he's expecting MLSC to kind of shore up in terms of making sure that people can watch us in the States, trying to make sure that the NBA is equitable when it comes to how they treat the franchise. There's certain things that he said in the presser that leads me to believe that if he's going to leave, it's going to be because MLSC isn't really looking 10 years in the future in regards to where they want this franchise to be. and so, again, like I said, if he's going to leave, he's going to leave for something that means something, like because he's made a lot of money. He's going to continue to make a lot of money. Hell, he might end up being commissioner. I would love that. He might. He's probably going to do something with NBA Africa. I could see him doing that. I'm less worried now than I was earlier. I think because we're going into this conversation with picking up a number four pick. Thank you, Adam Silver. We haven't heard a peep. I think he stays. I genuinely, and I don't want y'all to like at me when he doesn't stay and be like, oh, like y'all, you said he's going. I know just as much as you do. I just, in my heart, you have to believe that Masai staying. So that's what I believe.
The presser was pretty helpful. I have to say, like, I was kind of doubting things until then. That said, like, we haven't really heard much since. And I know MLSE, like, there was such a point on, like, he's back in Toronto after Tampa. He's going to do his presser. We want him to, like, lock into this new contract before he goes to Africa for the summer for, like, the Giants of Africa work that he went and did there. And now it's like, I mean, I know that this is a man who's got like a kind of a million, it's weird to say like he has a million other better things to do than sign his like next, you know, multi-million deal, but he does. So I do trust that. But a part of me is still just like, like Sandy said, there's definitely non-monetary things that he's asked of MLSE. You know, the first time around, it was like a better, it was like the OVO practice center. It was like way more like money and development put into the 905, you know, like those were all kind of big tangible things. And he talked a lot in that presser about wanting to change the impact of basketball in Canada, not just in Toronto. So I'm kind of curious as to what he meant by that. I mean, we're all talking about like a WNBA franchise. I think that would be phenomenal. I also think, you know, he's a really smart businessman. I think he understands very well, like what adding a WNBA franchise in Toronto would do for just like the market overall. But I am kind of curious if he's going to get into like broadcast rights. The fact that like, I still don't think you can watch. Can you not watch the Raptors on NBA TV in Canada? Because like
Sportsnet
and TSN have the rights for that. So like, there's a lot of like detrimental things to just like viewership, but I'm curious if he would go dive deep in that. But yeah, the last thing I think is that I also am kind of wondering at what point is he going to step back and just say like, all right, Bobby, you got this. And have these all sort of been signaling toward that? I don't want that yet. I don't think it's time. Especially with a number four pick coming in and like a potential rebuild, like a slow rebuild, you know, if Kyle goes and who else I don't want to even will that, but you know, these are all really realistic, like franchise changing things on the table this season. So please don't go, but I don't know. I'm not going to call it. I'm going to be the coward. So people can at me if they want, you can just like tell me.
We got two people already. You know who to blame if Masai says peace. Yeah. How about you, Karina? Do you want to be attacked too?
I'm just going to be like, please stay. I'm going to manifest with you. Like we did like 3 weeks ago where we said, we're going to manifest that he's staying. I'm good with that.
I think the thing with Masai too is I heard a couple days ago that there were a lot more discussions about another expansion for the WNBA teams. And I think that Toronto was in the midst of that discussion as well. So I don't think if Masai leaves, it should be for any other NBA team. If he does, it probably will be to like combat climate change, like, you know, bring down Jeff Bezos or something. It's not going to be anything NBA related. But the other part of it too, like you ladies mentioned, the thing with how the next year will look like, depending on who we have on the team, whether it's Kyle, whoever it is, it sucks. I don't want to lose anyone, but as long as you know that you have the man Masai Ujiri behind, you know, making sure everything is running smoothly, you don't feel that way, because look at what he did to our team against LeBron. He still made us compatible. He made us enough so that we could do something in the playoffs. But without him, I don't know. I'm scared. I'm like, Dad, don't go. Where do you think you're going? Come back. You can't leave yet.
Yeah, I think the big thing with him is that he really believes in this organization and that he really, really cares about this team. And I think that if you replace him with someone else, they're not going to have that same, you know, emotional attachment to the team. I feel like to have, especially since we're the only team in Canada, you need a special type of passion to kind of keep us going. And I think Masai has that, which is why, you know, we're so attached to him as well, because we love him just as much as he loves us. And I think that is like a very important factor.
No, I agree. And to think that it all started off with the Fuck Brooklyn chant in 2013. And right away we were like, this man has our heart. He can never leave. If he leaves, if it's another NBA team, we're burning that city to the ground. It's never happening. We're the most bitter ex in the world. And with that, we can conclude this episode. I want to thank Karina so, so, so much for taking the time. Like I said, she works 85,000 hours a week. I can't believe she had the time to sit down with us old ladies and talk basketball. And Karina, you have the floor for the next 2 minutes to just up yourself. Go crazy, lady.
Okay. Well, first, thank you for having me on. I always have time for you ladies. Honestly, this is one of my favorite podcasts, and the fact that I'm even here is surreal to me. But yes, please go follow Unbench Sports. Like Noor mentioned before, we're an all-female/non-binary run site. We are covering the Olympics right now. So we're literally any Olympic sport, you name it, we have someone on it. You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at @unbenched_, and then visit our website to unbenchsports.ca. What else? Let's see. I write for Venus Sports, which is a site covering women's leagues. I cover the New York Liberty and the Phoenix Mercury of the WNBA over there. Go subscribe to Locked On Women's Basketball. I have so much fun doing that every week. Probably going to be recording another episode tomorrow. And yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, like I told you, I'm so glad we invested in you before we could not afford you anymore. Like your hours right now, it was a low stock. And now I'm like, watch your girl. We did it first. We were the Apple, and we invested in you first. And with everybody else, you can find Katie and her lovely writing on Twitter and Basketball Feelings. And whenever you want to find Sandy, she'll just be yelling at Kendrick Perkins on everywhere. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.